B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
Ace is on the case.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Many, many French fries.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall Dick, where you at?
51575.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey, Tom, you like rock and roll?
Jiminy Christmas!
Hey, Quentin, what's up, man? Hey, you fired up?
Sports.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We're the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. I hope everyone had a tremendous day last night.
Mm-hmm.
With many, many French fries.
Many French fries, which, by the way, I said that probably 15 times yesterday.
Yep, so did I.
Many, many of them.
How was your birthday, Fred? What'd you do?
Oh, my friends. I walked the dog when I got home for a long time. Then I opened my gifts. I took an hour-long nap. Then I opened my gifts. I got a wet bar.
Oh, very nice.
And then I went over to Buff's with my family and ate.
Very nice. That's no kidding. That's a great gift right there.
Yeah. Go to Buff's. Mm-hmm. Knock it around over there.
Yep.
The infamous home of the Tuukka Rask squirts.
Right.
He has a signed jersey there.
Remember when that story
came out?
It's
a picture right up behind the bar.
Yeah, and obviously it ended up being shot down. But
no, there's a jersey of his right by the table.
Who was this? It was like such a strange source. Like, there was like Katie Nolan's mom or something said that it was like a weird, random person who had gotten that story out there. It was like somebody's mother had tweeted something and the national media had picked it up that Tuukka Rask had been seen at Buff's Pub the night before in the playoffs. I think it was during the Stanley Cup final
I thought it was before that last game against Ottawa where they needed a win to get in and he couldn't play.
Okay, because I know that he couldn't play, and I think he played in all the games during that Stanley Cup final. So I you're right. It was a big game, though.
Yeah, it was the last game. They played Ottawa. They had to win to get in, and they got blown out. And I think Rask couldn't play because he was sick.
I don't know why the randomness of Katie Nolan's mom is stuck in my head because of that, but it's probably so random that it's true. But, yep, it's like I can't think of Buffs now and not think of the Tuukka Rask controversy.
I can't imagine that making anyone sick. That's
No, they said that they didn't. It was and they came out and I guess Katie Nolan's mom, whoever it was, ended up saying that wasn't the case.
Right. Have you ever seen Drunk History?
You know, I've never watched it, but I know the concept of it.
Okay, so Drunk History is on Comedy Central, and they get people quote-unquote drunk, and then they tell a story, and then they act out what they're saying. So Katie Nolan is on one this year, and I read about how they do it. Lame.
Really?
Lame, 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 lame.
What do you mean how they do it?
They don't let the people get really drunk.
Oh.
There's all these rules, and they have to blow into a breathalyzer, and they can't get above a certain alcohol percentage. So it's not even like you're drunk. It's just like you're buzzed.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to do Drunk History, you got to do it like our drinking games.
Yeah, I mean that there was no faking there.
No, it was the idea was you got blacked out drunk.
And blacked out we did.
I mean,
we were there was times where most of us didn't remember how it ended, and we would come in the next morning and Fred would be like, "Oh boy, here comes the audio," and crash and be like, "Oh boy." And then I'd hear it and be like, "Yeah, hey."
Yeah, I mean, we would get blacked out drunk. And so but they're on a network. So there's all these rules they have to abide by. So I say, pish posh, Drunk History, not drunk enough. I mean, if you're going to get people drunk, they should be all over the place and slurring and dangerous.
Okay, so I found it. This is from an article from Boston Magazine during that time. It said Bruin fans began questioning Rask's willingness to compete in spite of whatever injury illness he had. They said, sure to stoke the bonfire was this tweet from Fox Sports personality and Framingham native Katie Nolan. Now, the tweet is gone, but it says, Nolan says that her mother, a former bartender from Newton, posted in a Facebook stat in which she alleges, quote, on good authority that Rask was eating hot wings at Buff's Pub in Newton Corner on 10 p.m. Doesn't sound exactly like comfort food for a sick guy, she said. And then, of course, there was some actual investigations that were done, and people were calling Buff's Pub, and they said he was not there. Matter of fact, it was DJ Bean who said, though a frequent patron, Rask was not at Buff's on Friday or Saturday, according to manager Dave Morrissey. He was last there after the Carolina game.
Yeah.
And Katie Nolan retweeted and said, case closed, solid journalism from DJ Bean. Mom's got to get more reliable sources. But I remember that became a storyline because of Katie Nolan's mother saying she's up to Rask there.
All right. Now, what does Katie Nolan do now?
She works for... She has a good gig, and I forget where it is. Because I remember
it's ESPN, isn't it?
No. For a while, she was with Fox, and
now
then...
Now she's with ESPN.
She's with ESPN.
So I will ask you again, what does Katie Nolan do
It's a
ESPN?
Great mystery, too, because I've done some investigating. I'm really not sure.
She's not on television.
They gave her some kind of show, but it was online, I think. I'm not even sure of that.
No, because she's not on television.
She gets paid well, I know that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe she gets paid well, but I don't know what she does there. I mean, I have not seen Katie Nolan outside of the ads for Drunk History in a couple of years.
I think she has a show called Always Late.
Or it's not on TV.
No.
I would tell you that it's not on television.
Yeah, you're probably, I mean, you may be right. But,
she
remember...
keeps getting these jobs that require doing nothing. I mean, they just...
Kind of jealous.
Yeah.
Kind of real jealous and gets paid handsomely.
I'm sure it's not ideal for her. I'm sure she would like to be on some sort of medium that people can actually consume it. But Katie Nolan is not, you would have to spend a lot of time finding out exactly what she's doing right now. Except for Drunk History.
Right.
It's what did you say, Dan?
Of course you go to Wikipedia when you want to know anything. Debuted, she's one of the hosts of Sports Center on Snapchat.
Oh.
I'm not lying.
Okay.
That was a digital show in November. She began as one of the hosts.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who did she piss off like really bad at Fox Sports? It was Chris Carter, I think. They were talking about, it was like during the Super Bowl, there was an article that came out about, you know, the minute that she knew that working for Fox sucked, and it was like they gave her like a little bit of a show during Super Bowl week, and she goes, I want it to be like people who aren't all like athletes. I want there to be people who kind of get what I'm doing here, like even comedians or whatever. And so they said, well, how about Chris Carter? She goes, Chris Carter's not the kind of guy that I want. Like, Chris Carter, like, I don't think has much of a sense of humor. And then, like, the day of show, she's like, okay, we got you Chris Carter.
Yeah.
And she brought up, like, for some reason, she brought up, like, oh, well, because the Patriots are playing. Deflategate was brought up, and she was like, oh, come on, let's not talk about this. And then Chris Carter just wouldn't shut up about it. And finally, Katie Nolan just rips him a new ale. Chris Carter gets mad during the commercial break, and she's like, all right, I'm done. Like, they gave me a guy I didn't want, some jackass, who I was explicitly what I would did not want on this show. And then when I try to crack a joke, he becomes Mr. Serious Guy. And then I have to like yell at him and he gets pissed.
Well, it's interesting because her claim to fame was defending Regis Philbin at the dawn of Fox Sports.
And that was pretty funny because it was more less about defending Regis Philbin, which was absurd enough, than it was ripping on Rick Riley.
Yeah, but it was defending one of the worst hires in the history of the fledgling network, is that we were going to make Regis Philbin the face of Fox Sports.
Was it Fox Sports 1? Was that the debut? And he was Afternoon Drive?
He was the...
For his, the Crowd Goes Wild, was that the name of the show?
He was the face of Fox Sports, and it was just like... Who is doing this? Is it like Milton Berle? I mean, like who are you trying to appeal to? Hey, we're the fresh young network. Here's Regis Philbin. He's going to be the face of the network. And then people, of course, ripped on it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Rick Riley ripped on it, who sucks. And Katie Nolan went on this big diatribe defending the honor of Regis Philbin. We've talked to her about it in studio.
Yeah, yeah.
And how foolish that was. Like, that's the what you want to hang your hat on? Regis Philbin? But anyway, she's never had like a good job. She gets paid, but she's never had a job where they gave her any kind of
because garbage real time. Yeah, on FS1 was like midnight.
It was at garbage time.
Yeah,
quite literally. And I think that what they do is that they see value in her, but they don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, yeah. They haven't found like any kind of show or platform or format, and they probably think because she's young, she's like, hey, social media.
I don't know.
Young people love social media.
I don't even know how young she is anymore. I mean, she's been at this for a while.
Well, she's in her 30s.
Yeah, but I mean, she's not like
young relative to Regis.
Well, I'm young relative to Regis, for God's sake. But there you have it. Drunk history is nothing but a fraud. Nothing but a fraud. And now they're bringing in like super famous people to do it, and I don't care for that either. You keep that thing small.
Yeah. It says the night before the first show from Super Bowl, they were like, all right, so the people that you wanted all missed their flight. So the first show is going to be you, Nick Wright, Chris Carter, and two FS1 personalities. And she said, okay, this is going to be a disaster. And they were like, no, it's going to be fine. She says, Chris Carter brings up Deflategate. I'm like, okay, so now I either have to, out of respect for him, let him talk about this on my show or be like, it's my show. Shut up, Chris. So I chose the second opinion. We got into it. It was a mess. It wasn't good TV.
All right. Well, there you have it. All right, Rich, what's happening? What happened last night? There was a couple games.
Oh, man. The Celtics, not only was yesterday's game interesting as hell, but Kyrie Irving's post-game comments, that was one of the better post-game interviews I've seen in a long time. Kyrie Irving patching things up with a guy that he hated, and we learned about it yesterday, all because he wants to win.
All right. Well, that's interesting. We will find out about it in just a moment.
Toucher and Rich. Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5, the Sports Hub, or Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
The Celtics follow up a 3-game losing streak with an emphatic win against the best team in basketball, because that's how the Celtics roll these days.
Kawhi Leonard thinking about that pull-up three. It's in the air. It is short. Rebound Tatum, and the Celtics are going to get this done.
Wow.
What a night. Kyrie, offensive end, lobs it. Horford, catch and slam with two hands. The perfect exclamation point on a mid-season win. The Boston Celtics could not have needed any more.
Yep. I like to imagine the Celtics being like the NBA's pool hustlers, purposely losing to bad teams so they can lull good teams into a sense of false security, and then bam, they go for the throat, because that's the Celtics nowadays. Lose to bad teams, beat all the good ones, and boy did they ever last night. 117-108 over the Raptors in the best game of the year. Both teams at one point down by double digits, both teams clawing back, and in the end, it was haymaker after haymaker between two of the best closers in the NBA, Kawhi Leonard and this gentleman.
Now the Celtics by two and the ball. Clock rolling with 1:43 to go. And you hear the crowd. Kyrie, crazy deep three.
Even Kyrie. Kyrie spit on him, brother. You spit in the well.
Kyrie.
Somebody give me a diaper, man. I just did something.
Yep.
Kyrie Irving pops the collar and may just have popped this one open with a Steph Curry-like three from 30 feet away.
So he gave me a diaper? Yeah. I just made something?
Well, I just did
the
something.
Diaper. Yeah. Too late. Yep. It's too late for the diaper.
That's right. Well, you
should have asked
wipes.
For the diaper before. You've already messed your pants.
You know, we've heard a lot of Mac stuff. That might be the best one out of all
of
them.
Well, no, it makes no logical sense. Why would you need a diaper?
None of us do.
If you already made duty.
It beats sandwiches. I'll tell you that.
You're being ridiculous. If you poo yourself,
right.
Then the diaper is no matter. Use. At this point.
Right.
Maybe he felt there was more to come.
Now, if he had said, "I should have brought a diaper. I just did something," that would have been perfect.
Yeah.
Right.
And that would have made logical
yes,
sense.
I understand.
That is one of a
tough to do it off the cuff, though, Fred. It's happening right in front of you. It's tough to get everything right.
So you're saying he's a liar? No, you're saying that he did not make messes.
maybe he had a turtle. There,
tough
he felt
to
more coming out.
Express himself in the moment.
No, you don't turtle if you're that excited.
Right.
It's an explosion.
Sure.
Of diarrhea.
Right.
I'm going to play that 10 times this morning.
I'd lead every hour with it.
Oh, Someone get me a diaper. Well, I'm afraid it's too late. You would need something like a change of pants.
Right.
Probably. Yeah. Well,
for everyone with IBS, I think that was a slap in the face.
Well, Kyrie Irving, man, he hit one circus shot after the next, but perhaps even more impressive was when he knew exactly where to pass the ball, tallying a career high of 18 assists. As a matter of fact, Kyrie scored or assisted on Boston's last 25 points of the game. 27 total points of the night. There were also some major contributions by a guy who truly needed it as well.
6 seconds. Kyrie Irving, offensive end against Danny Green. Right-hand dribble, gets the 10 feet, shovels back to Hayward. Hayward in tough position, forces it up, and he gets the bounce because it's his night.
Some nights it's your night. Sometimes you are the fly, sometimes you are the windshield that hits the fly.
Man, Kyrie did not put him in a good spot, but Gordon Hayward makes it work. He hits 7 of 8, 16 in the first half, and the Celtics, who trailed by 11 early, lead by 11
yep.
at the break.
Hayward outscored the Raptors bench by himself, as well as playing one of his best defensive games of the season, but it was Kyrie who truly willed the team to a win last night, and it couldn't come at a better time. So just 2 games after Kyrie seemed to call out his own players on the court, and in his comments to the press, only to have Jaylen Brown say that people on the team need to handle things behind closed doors and stop pointing fingers. After the game, Kyrie admitted that Jaylen Brown was absolutely right.
You know, that was a learning experience for me of being in this position of really realizing the magnitude of my voice and what I mean to this group of guys. And I want to see them do well. In order to do that, I got to empower them. You know, JB was right. I gotta do the right things and really not point fingers at individuals and really realize what we can do as a group, you know, despite what we're doing on the road or the mishaps we may have. I've been there in the championship. I've tasted it, but I can't expect that they're going to get it right away either.
So he
How
was
modest.
Well, I mean, he kind of he talked for a long time, and he puts things a little bit more in perspective. I mean, that clip right there, it does sound a little more like, hey, you know, I'm me. But what he was saying was that Jaylen Brown, all the speculation that was going on yesterday about when he made the comment, we need to not point fingers at each other and be like, ooh, is he talking to Kyrie? He's absolutely talking to Kyrie. And Kyrie says, yeah, he was talking about me. I was a dick, and I shouldn't have done that. And he went on to continue to say that, you know, anything like that, I need to be behind the scenes. This is a new position for me. I obviously want these guys to win. And then, remember yesterday when we were saying, Fred, that by Kyrie acting the way he did on the court, he was acting just like a guy that he despised the most to LeBron James?
Yeah.
Well, you know who agrees with you? Kyrie Irving.
Baby.
Because last night came the revelation that Kyrie had been so disappointed in how he had acted towards his teammates that he called LeBron James to apologize for how he had acted towards him during his time in Cleveland. Listen to these comments.
It was a big deal for me because I had to call Bron, you know, and tell him, like, you know, I apologize for being that young player that wanted to everything at his, you know, at his fingertips, and I wanted everything to be at, you know, my threshold. I wanted to be the guy that led us to change. I wanted to be the leader. I wanted to be all that. And, you know, the responsibility of being the best player in the world and leading a team is something that's not meant for many people. And Bron was one of those guys that came to Cleveland and tried to really show us what it's like to win a championship. And it was hard for him. And sometimes getting the most out of the group, it's not the easiest thing in the world. And like I said, only fewer are meant for it or chosen for it. And, you know, I feel like the best person to call was him because, you know, he's been in the situation, you know, he's been there with me where I've been the young guy of, you know, being a 22-year-old kid and, you know, wanting everything. He wanted everything right now, you know, coming off an all-star year starting and then, you know, this heck of a presence comes back and now I got to adjust my game to this guy. And, you know, you take it personal, but at the end of the day, he just wants what's best. And what that brought me back to was like, all right, how do I get the best out of this group of the success they had last year and then helping them realize what it takes to win a championship.
What is LeBron's?
Oh, relax. Relax. One question at a time, because when you bring up Bron, of course, it brings extra credit to that.
So everyone's asking, it's like, what, LeBron? They say, LeBron.
Did anyone say, like, hey, you know, Fred Toucher talked about that on the radio, and so I'll give him a nice round of applause?
It might have been. I mean, because he saw that. He saw that yesterday, that, you know, the guy that I did not enjoy coming and telling me how to do things. You know, who is this guy coming in and pushing me around where I got stats to worry about? And then he found himself in the exact same position. He goes, damn it, I got to apologize.
This is hard.
This is harder than I thought it was going to be.
Really, really hard.
It's more than just telling guys to win or telling guys to play better. And his post-game press conference in its entirety was probably about 5 minutes long, and he expanded on how there's been ways he's been doing it wrong, but he's learning on the job, and how he's never going to criticize these guys out in public. He knows that the right place to do it is behind the scenes. And man, did they need that win last night. But
I think they'll respond well. I think the young guys are going to respond well to this. But the overall picture is now that really good teams sometimes need a win like that to kind of bounce back and find themselves. One thing that's eluded the Celtics all season is consistency. And they really have a chance to get on a roll here. In the next 4 weeks, they have 3 road games, believe it or not. 3 total until Valentine's Day. At Atlanta, at the Knicks, and at Cleveland. The next tough road game they have is at Philadelphia, February 12th. All the rest of the games are at home. If you're ever going to get on a roll and build consistency and make a run towards home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs, or maybe even make a run towards first place, this is it.
The
schedule lines up perfectly for them. The really tough home game they have is Golden State a week from Saturday, and that's it. You have a bunch of Miamis, Cleveland, Charlottes, Oklahoma City's in there. They've beaten Oklahoma City before. We have the Lakers, but the Lakers are coming here, not the other way. So this is the chance. I mean, it's open there. The Celtics have what could be a signature win. That was a really nice win.
Last night confirmed why I'm not, like, worried about the Boston Celtics. Because it's just a matter, and it pisses me off, and I wish they didn't do this, but it's a matter of them just not trying against teams that they don't feel are up to their competition level. They're better than every team in the East.
But in the end, Rich, if you're inconsistent, you're going to wind up with a seeding you don't want. And you said it yourself yesterday, you're stuck with Toronto in the second round instead of the Eastern Conference Finals.
But
they can't afford to do that.
But I also think that we're going to get to a point probably within a month where they're going to say, all right, time to stop jacking around. We've got to worry about seeding.
By then, is it too late?
Maybe. And maybe it will be.
So you need...
But I also am not even worried about home court.
They have to make a move right now.
I'm not even that worried about home court.
See,
they can beat any team in the East.
Right, but they haven't.
They beat Milwaukee. They split with Milwaukee. They beat Toronto.
They beat Milwaukee.
They beat Indiana.
I understand that.
The Sixers can't beat them. I mean, all the teams ahead of them.
They lost on the road at Indiana. Oladipo hit a 3 at the end to beat them in Indiana. These are the things that they have to clean up.
Sure.
If you're going to go make a run towards where this team needs to go, Eastern Conference Finals, NBA Finals, you got to be better than this.
Oh, I agree.
You can't flip a switch and turn it on in April.
It's not, but I also
You have to go out and beat teams every night. And getting back to what Kyrie said, I think young kids respond to veterans saying that they're wrong. They'll respond to this.
Yeah,
the question is... Is it enough to make them the consistent team they need to be?
They're not playing like a championship team. However, they are playing like a team that they can beat any team in the East and can represent the East.
But no one knows when that day is coming. That's the problem. And that doesn't work in the playoffs.
Sure it does. You put them on a big stage. Almost every game on a big stage, they play their asses off.
Are you convinced this team can play night in and night out great, regardless of who the opponent is?
During the playoffs, yes.
It's good to get up for an opponent once. It's something else entirely to beat them 4 times.
It's not the same thing, John.
I understand
they're just not getting up for bad teams.
I get that. But you get to the playoffs, it's different. And this team did have a taste of success last year, but it's a different group with different leaders this year. And the only thing that's consistent about this team is its inconsistency. I don't care what you're talking about. Playoffs,
and that they play well against good teams.
They do, but... You beat them once, that's one thing. Who's to say that inconsistency won't pop up during a 7-game series?
Are you worried about them in a 7-game series against the Sixers?
Not at the moment, but I could be.
Are you worried about them in a 7?
If they're inconsistent the rest of the way and they wind up winning 44, 45 games, I'm very worried against them.
Well,
especially if the Sixers have home court.
Do you know how many times this season I've said, I think we hit a turning point?
Yeah.
So I hope that's what it was
saying.
The case. But you never know.
Last night was great, but now they have to go out and do it again. I don't want to put a damper on the win. The win was fantastic. But in the grand scheme of things, if they split their next 6 games, it doesn't matter much.
Yes. What are you doing there, Nick? Okay.
All right.
Is it Nick Olson comes in and there's this light flashing?
Well, listen.
He's taking your picture, Ron.
It's the hot takes burning up the camera.
Right.
What else do we have, Rich?
Bruins find a way to end up blowing it in Philly last night. We will get to that. Also, some interesting comments by the New England Patriots as well.
Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
At 5, the Sports Hub. Be listening this morning at 6:50 for your chance to score a pair of general admission passes for Boston Calling. Happening this Memorial Day weekend, more than 40 bands and comedians over three stages, including Greta Van Fleet, Travis Scott, who is playing the Super Bowl and making people very uncomfortable.
Oh, did you hear what happened? Yes, I'll let you finish the tease there.
But. And 21 Pilots, three-day passes on sale now at bostoncalling.com.
All right, I have to find the word-for-word story, but you know how Travis Scott said that he reached out to Colin Kaepernick before it all happened, and then Colin Kaepernick, I think the way it was described to Vanity Fair magazine was Colin Kaepernick, while not agreeing with him, they had a good dialogue, and they both agreed that there were positives for both sides of it. Well, now apparently Kaepernick's people are like, dude, they never talked.
No, boy.
So now it's coming out that Kaepernick in no way gave a blessing for him to play the Super Bowl halftime show.
Now, my question, will Lil Xan play?
Lil Xan?
Yeah.
Who's Lil Xan?
He goes like, yo, I got clothes. Yeah, I got shoes, shoes. Yeah, boy, you know, clothes and shoes.
Is that more of the Rumble rap?
Yeah, man, I got Xan. I'm Lil Xan. I take Xanax for my anxiety issues.
Oh, yeah. So here's what it says. It says, okay, this is from the story here. Former San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick seemingly confirming that he did not speak with Travis Scott, who's performing at the Super Bowl. If you don't know, Travis was announced as one of the performers. They said, okay. Later, Variety published a report that Colin and Travis spoke before he accepted the gig, saying, quote, they emerged from the conversation with mutual respect and understanding, with the rapper taking the stance that everyone makes a statement in their own way, and they felt that the money going toward the Dream Corps combined with the platform provided by the Super Bowl will do some good. Colin retweeted several tweets yesterday saying that this conversation never happened, including one by his friend Ebro Darden saying, Cap did not approve of this BS. Get the blank out of here. So there you go. So Colin Kaepernick, I guess by retweet, confirming that they never spoke, despite Travis Scott coming out saying, yeah, we had a good guy. Now, he might not have, like, actually technically approved it, but there was an understanding that we're all doing good for the community.
Did they not think they check with him?
You've heard of him. He's going to find out. Colin Kaepernick is going to find out. This is kind of a big story.
You know Migos? You've heard of them. It's the three guys.
Yeah.
They...
Migos is the dab song, right?
Stir fry it.
They make... I'm not being an old man. They just say, like, shoes. Yo! Cotton candy. Yo! Yeah. I mean, there's no... They don't even attempt to rhyme.
No.
I mean, it just... There's literally nothing that they... It's the most... They don't rhyme. I'm sure it's of some genre. But the last I checked, in hip-hop, you had to at least... Like, even Stitches rhymes.
Well, he loves selling blow.
Maybe that's the problem. TJ, go ahead.
What's up, TJ?
Sorry, fellas. You know, back to what you were saying about the Celtics. You know, they're playing like one guy we all know very well. This looks like a collective group, like playoff Rondo. You know?
Sure.
Listen, think about it. Well, you guys said it a little bit earlier. They only get up for big games, big challenges. The games that the prey that they're supposed to eat eats them because they don't pay attention. They don't, you know, the small details of things that matter. So I kind of get what Kyrie's saying. I was on Team Kyrie when he said it because he's right. How he said it was wrong. And the guys, you know, this especially these young guys come in, their skin's a lot thinner than what he even was used to. We thought his group had thin skin. So. You know, I know he has to be a little touchy and, you know, reaching out to LeBron. I need to see LeBron confirm this because you just went over Travis Scott. I just want to make sure that happens, and we'll see because they're going to ask LeBron about it today. I want to see his side of that conversation because if he did that, That is the most mature thing I've ever heard anybody do.
I guarantee. Well, first of all, if that happened, LeBron's going to want to tell people about it. Because what he's saying then is like, he reached out to the greatest. All right. Yeah. He reached out
puts
to the
him
guy
in the
who
superior
made.
Light,
right. It
sure.
makes him look amazing. Yeah. He reached out to the man who made Kyrie Irving the player that he is today.
It's like reaching out to little Zan and saying, hey.
Shoes.
Do you know who? Hey, TJ, do you know who little Zan is?
I don't want to. Not have no, listen, I have no clue. And I let me tell you something. I make my living working with these artists. They ask me if I remember a song. No, I don't. I do it for the money and I let them continue with their life. It has no value. I tell them to their face. It has zero value beyond the next 30 days. 30 days from now, you're going to be coming back trying to do something else because this had zero life, had zero legs. But, you know, I want to say one more thing because you guys seem to disagree about whether or not the Celtics are going to be able to turn it on in the playoffs. I will equate this to a boxer who's been knocking guys out. And then he has a fight where this guy's not going to let him knock him out, and it goes 3 rounds, 4 rounds, 6 rounds, 9 rounds. Now it's endurance. And if you're not used to eating the guys you're supposed to eat, you're not going to be able to do that in the playoffs. So it isn't about whether or not they can beat a team that's in front of them that night, because I feel like they can flip that switch. But when that team comes back and adjusts, when that team knows your moves and your counter moves, what are you going to do? And these young guys, when they get punched in the face, they don't fight back. And that's the thing I think Morris, Kyrie, Marcus Smart, that's the thing that they're worried about, because in the playoffs, everybody comes to play. We were shocked when Dallas came to play, shocked when New York came to play, shocked. What are you going to do when Toronto realizes that they got to come and play?
Yeah, and you know what?
I agree.
I think Carl is right.
Get up and beat the team once, that's one thing, but to play 5 or 6 great games consecutively is something entirely different.
Kyrie even said that. He goes, against these teams that might not have that good of records, we need to be eating them alive.
Yes.
He goes, we need to be making statements with each one of those
and
games.
Here's the opportunity. You look at the schedule in front of you, you got a lot of chances to eat a lot of teams alive. They're going to play a lot of teams that aren't as good as them coming up.
What a horrible metaphor.
Eating someone alive?
Yeah.
You just think of cannibalism or?
Of course I think of cannibalism.
That doesn't sound like something that many people would enjoy.
No, you would just say, like, hey, we're going to beat them.
Yeah, yeah, go team.
Eat them alive.
Yeah.
We're gonna
score more points than those guys.
We're going to beat the heck out of those guys. Come on.
We're going to get them.
They're going down.
By the way, we're in a big search for Little Zan, so I could turn you on to it.
Well, Little Zan might have to take a little beeping, I would assume.
I don't know. He doesn't say a whole lot.
Okay. Is Lil the most phoned in?
It's mumble rap. Every mumble rapper is Lil.
Is it? So if you're a mumble rapper, that's just like a nickname that goes with you?
Pretty much.
Okay, because it just sounds like the most phoned in rap name prefix now.
Well, he's Lil Zan. He loves Xanax.
It's like DJ something.
Mm-hmm.
MC.
I don't get Xanax as a recreational drug. I take Xanax on occasion, but to sleep. Or if I'm getting on a plane, it doesn't make you high.
So he's little X-A-N, like Xan, like as in Xanax?
Yeah, baby!
Here we go. For me, says she gay, but still into me. Says she gay, still into me. Says she hate that I'm in the stream. I said I hate that I'm in the stream. I wanna blow up and make history. Says she hate my Insta feed. Xans don't make you. Xans gonna take you. Xans gonna fake you. Xans gonna betray it. Whoa, man. Okay. All right. So this dude, they said, you know, I'm going to be like Post Malone with the tattoos on the face, but I'm just going to pick the worst tattoos I can choose. He has one that says ZZZ, like sleeping lover underneath his right eye.
He likes
to
sleep. He's like Garfield.
Yeah. Xanax likes sleeping. He likes lasagna. Yo, and he hates Mondays.
I hate Mondays, yo. Odie, he licks my face. Yo. Sleeping in a lasagna pan.
He looks like a skinny Charlie McAvoy.
Dave, he's tripping. Dave, I know what he looks like.
Oh, you do? You know what he looks like?
Yeah, yeah. Dave's tripping. He's asked me, can he go on a date? He ain't gonna go on a date. Nirmel, he's cute. I don't like him. Nirmal, do you remember Nirmal?
Yeah, that would be the other dog. That
no, was, the other cat.
Another cat, that's right. I thought it was Nirmal.
Whatever. I call Nirmal, yo. Nirmal ain't swell. Yo, Dave, give me some lasagna. Cook it in the oven. Yo.
I can't. You know so much about Garfield.
Yo, yeah. Yo.
What rhymes with Odie?
Odie. Well, it doesn't matter.
That's right, because they don't even rhyme.
Yo, Odie, quit licking on me.
Yeah. That is.
You're going crazy.
This is a man whose career will live forever.
He's little as Ant, and now he's got his tattoos all over his face.
How old is he? Because he
22. Looks, I looked it up.
Okay, because he looks 14.
Yeah. Little Sammy's lasagna.
These are some bad tattoos, my friend.
Yo, Kathy, you eating bonbon? You frustrated, girl. You can't get no man.
Me say she gay, still into me. Say she gay, still into me. Does she hate?
Can I get some Lockhorns?
Yo, Lockhorn, your wife, she's got the thing that makes the. She's got a rolling pin. She's gonna hit you in the face. Yo, you went out and got drunk, B. You're going to get it now.
This is MC Sunday Comics.
yo, forget for better or for worse. Yo, your dog died in a river. Yo.
Family circus.
Yo, your grandmother, she ain't around no more, but she goes. She what? Come in. That's real.
Really?
Yeah. Jeffy. Jeffy got some problems, yo. He sees Grandma.
Mark Trail?
Wait, what?
Is this what nobody read? Mark Trail? Prince Valiant?
Yo, Prince Valiant. You one of them cartoons that was serious.
BC?
BC.
BC. Yo. Playing with rocks. Sitting on top of a hill on an island. Yo.
Little Beetle Bailey.
Okay. Yo, Beetle, wake the F up. Here come the Sarge. Why you tripping, Sarge? Beetle's tired. He's gonna make a mistake real quick. Yo, Beetle, you messed up making the food for the commissary. And Sarge is hungry.
We get a little Nancy.
Okay. Yo, bald kid, you sleep on the tree. Wake up. Yo, wake up. Nancy, she's gotten into some ridiculousness.
Galvin and Hobbs.
Yo, people I hate like you a lot.
Not a fan of Kevin Hobbs, are you?
Nah.
I see you peeing on logos.
Yo, why are you peeing on that Ford logo? Yo, what Ford do to you?
Dilbert,
you super conservative in real life. It's weird. Yo, that office is weird. They don't treat you right. It's the foibles of corporate culture. Dilbert.
All right. MC Sunday Morning Comic Strip.
Yo.
All right. Appreciate that.
Yo, open up them funny pages, yo.
By the way, how awful is that one rap beat that I have? It's like a...
I make it work, yo.
You're right.
Uh-huh. Yo, Brenda Starr, I like your red hair. When I was younger... I used to play with myself to your cartoon.
What?
It's true. There wasn't a lot on TV at the time. You had that friend with the eye patch.
That's how the song ends.
Yep.
Okay.
Car number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of general admission passes for Boston Calling.
High and Lois.
Oh, High and Low is. What's the one with the teenager?
Oh, I don't know.
Yo, teenager, you always have a big mess. Your mom wants you to clean it up, but you won't clean your room.
For better or for worse?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. For better or for worse.
Is that what that is?
For better or for worse is the one where they always have hearts coming out of their heads, right?
No, I don't know. That's something else. I forget who that is.
Oh, for better or for worse is with the teenage kid, right?
Yeah.
That's okay. The one.
All right, yo, drop the beat.
Okay.
Yo, teenage kid, you eat too much. You're always eating and not cleaning up after yourself. Yo, why don't you clean up after yourself? Your girl ain't gonna like your messy room. It smells. Your mom is flabbergasted. She ain't into it.
That's how it ends.
Okay.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.